We are doing Drashat Ramban. We're doing the Drashat Torah, Hashem Tmima. We're holding page Kuf Samach Gimel in the Mosadar of Kuk edition, four lines up from the second paragraph. Umikol Makom, three words into the line. Umikol Makom ani tamea. Nonetheless, as the Ramban, I wonder. Shani roe haTorah medaberet b'maaseh bereshit. I see the Torah telling us about the wisdom of creation, uchokhmat yahitzira, and the wisdom of how God fashioned the world. Avleni yodea heichanim ramezet maaseh merkava. But I don't know where the Torah alludes to this Kabbalistic concept that we are told by the prophets, what's called the work of God's chariots. The work of God's chariot. So that's, we know there are two types of Kabbalah. There are two deep secrets in the Torah. One is Maaseh Bereshit and one is Maaseh Merkava. And the Ramban in this work is trying to show us how the Torah encompasses all forms of wisdom and how much the Torah offers one who learns the Torah. So he says, but I don't know where the Torah alludes to this important concept of Maaseh Merkava. Aval Merkava ha'eliyona shehi yediyat ha'boreh, the upper chariot, which is a reference to God's knowledge of things. Ktuva ba'Torah, that's written in the Torah. Aval Merkava shel heichalot eini yodea laremez min ha'Torah. But the chariot that's a description of God's rooms, so to speak, that I don't know where it's mentioned in the Torah. Ve'ulai kabbalah al peh hayta, and maybe that was left for tradition. Adat ha'yechezkel v'yishaya v'asmechinu. So Yechezkel and Yeshaya, these two prophets, they discuss God's chambers and the different angels that are up in heaven, the heavenly chariot. But the Ramban says, I don't know where that's alluded to in the Torah. Now the Ramban is continuing, as he's been teaching us, how many things the Torah teaches us. Ve'od haTorah meirat einayim, furthermore, the Torah lightens our eyes. She'odia lanu inyan nistar, ve'eino mitkabel be'iyun. The Torah reveals to us something hidden that cannot be attained by simple research. Vehu yotze letoelet gdola. And that's something which really has great benefit. Vehu inyan hakorbanot. That is this concept of bringing a sacrifice. Ki bitchilat hayu nikshe meod. At first glance, this concept is very difficult. Kmo sheamar haKuzari. Like the Kuzari said. The Kuzari, the king of Kuzar, said to the rabbi, he said, I want to ask you a question. I've read in the Torah about this concept of sacrifices, and this concept seems to be contradictory to human intellect. It's something that's very difficult for me to understand. Why is it, how could God say the sacrifices are a pleasure before me, they give good smell before me, they are called God's bread? So the king of Kuzar asks the rabbi, I don't understand this. I know it says it in the Torah, I don't get it. So the Ramban says, at first glance, this concept is very difficult, and the Torah explains it. We will begin this concept this week, and hopefully conclude it next week. The Ramban elaborates on this point, but let's see. So he says, this is something which at first glance is very difficult, like the Kuzri says. V'nishar alai lishol ma shekarita b'korbanot. The Kuzri says, what I have left to ask is what I've read, what it says about the sacrifices. V'yesh b'zeh psukim mevo'arim, and there are clear verses, merachkim to'elet ha'korbanot min ha'el yitbarach, that clearly distance any benefit from the sacrifices from God. There are verses where God clearly says, I don't need your sacrifices. It's not that I drink their blood. It's not that I need it. K'mo shekatav, like the verse says in Tehillim, Lo al zevachecha ochichecha, I'm not coming to rebuke you for your sacrifices. V'chatub, in another pasuk says, Lo ekach mi beit chapal, I won't take from your house a cow. V'chatub, ha'ochal b'sar abirim, do I eat great masses of flesh? Is that what I want? God asks. V'yeg, God clearly says, Ki hu eino lokach, he's not taking, v'lo yochal ha'basar, he's not eating the meat. And he's not drinking the blood of the cow or the other animals we're bringing as sacrifices. And he has no gain, he has no pleasure, he has no direct benefit from our sacrifices. And even if you'd say that God does enjoy having animals brought as sacrifice before him, even if you wanted to say what the verse is clearly saying is not so. But let's say you'd want to say that God was like a hungry man who wants to satiate his soul. God can take it without our permission. He's master of the world. He controls everything. So obviously it's not that. Nonetheless, being that the sacrifices do not give pleasure or any benefit upstairs, upper benefit, so then what was the intent in commanding us to bring sacrifices? We find in the verse that the second human being to be created already brought a sacrifice. The verse says, "Hevel he too brought a sacrifice. He brought from his best sheep and from their fats." V'chtiv, and the verse clearly states in Bereishis, "Vayisha Hashem el hevel vel minchato." God did turn to Hevel and his sacrifice. V'rabotenu nanu korban la'adam arishon, and our sages even told us that the first man, Adam, he brought a sacrifice. It doesn't say it clearly in the verse in Bereishis, but in Tehillim it says, mipasuk, from the verse that says, v'titav l'ashem mishofar, that it's better before God than that ox, that cow. Our sages say that's a reference to the first sacrifice that was brought on the planet, brought by Adam Arishon. V'noach hekriv korban. Noach brings a sacrifice, it says in Bereishis, v'chtiv bo v'yarach Hashem. God smelled the beautiful smell of the korban. Avraham and Yitzchak hekrivu korbanot. Avraham and Yitzchak, they brought sacrifices. Uvanu mizbichot, kmo shekatuv b'Torah. They built altars, like it says in the Torah. Ve'lo zazu hachachamim ha'avdim ha'el me'akriv korbanot. We find that the sages who served God, they never left this concept of bringing sacrifices. Ad sheba ha'Torah ve'eskima b'hem, till the Torah comes along and agrees to the sacrifices. Ve'tzivta and commands ve'ericha b'hem yoter mikol mishpetei ha'Torah. When it comes to the sacrifices, we find more details in the Torah. The Torah speaks at greater length about sacrifices than anything else. Kichol ha'katuv b'chumash v'yikra, as we find throughout the book of Vayikra, the Torah takes the center of the Torah, the center book, Vayikra, and the whole book is focused on sacrifices, pretty much. V'lo shorta shechina b'mishkan el al yedei korbanot. And when it comes to the Mishkan, the Holy Tabernacle, God doesn't rest His presence until they bring sacrifices. Kmo shekatuv, like the verse says, Vayered masot et hachatat. Aaron came down from bringing the chata sacrifice. Vayerak vod Hashem, then God appeared in the Mishkan. Vaz shalta hashchina, then the Shechina, then God's presence appeared in the Mishkan. Shaya ze bayom hashmini, that happened on the eighth day. Umikan veilach katuv, and afterwards the verse says, Ulo yachol Moshe couldn't enter the tabernacle because God's presence suffused the tabernacle. And so too is clarified in the Midrash Torah Kohanim. Ubibet Amidash Nami, and the same thing we find in the temple. Al yedei korban nivchar. How is the temple chosen? Through sacrifice. Shenemah, as the pasuk says, Vayavo Gad el David b'yom ahu. The prophet God came to David on that day. Vayomer lo, and he said to him, Ale hakim l'shem mizbeach b'gon Arabna Yevusi. Go up and set up an altar in that granary of Arabna Yevusi, which was the Temple Mount, and sanctified, because that will be the place where you will build the temple. V'chtiv, and the pasuk says, Va'even sham David mizbech. David built an altar there. V'chtiv, Vayomer David, Zehu Beit Hashem. Then David inaugurated the temple, so to speak. The temple wasn't yet built, but he inaugurated the place. This is going to be the place where there will be a house for God. Goren Arabna Yevusi, yeah.
Where is it?
On the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount originally was a granary of Arabna Yevusi.
It's a Harmonia?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yevusi,
yeah. David purchased that area from him. It says David took the money from each tribe so that all the tribes would have equal shares in it. He took the money, each tribe gave an equal share, and then he purchased the Temple Mount.
And Adam Rishon brought offerings also over this site.
That we learned in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that says he brought it over there, yeah.
It's after expulsion from
Gan Eden. Oh, so that's the question.
Because Gan Eden is enough, at least.
Right. So that's right. Val yedei hakorban shorta bo shechina. Through bring sacrifices, the Shechina came to the temple after it was built. The initial inauguration of the Temple Mount was done by sacrifice. And then, when the temple was actually built years later, God brought His presence to the temple through the sacrifices. Shenemar, as the verse says, Ukechalot Shlomo litpalel, as Shlomo concluded his prayer, so then the Shechina came and rested in the temple. Bechol mi sheyesh einayim lo, and whoever has eyes, v'yireh b'katuv, and takes a look in the verse, yodeh, will admit, ki inyan ha-korbanot, nifla me'od, that the concept of sacrifices seems awesome. Ki kol refua she'en ata yodeh ma'otah, just like when you see a medication, and you don't understand its essence, b'rot ha-to'el taba mimena, but when you see the benefit that is derived from that medication, tuchach kochah ma'alatah, then it's been proven at least, its strength, and how great it is. So the sacrifices, he says, we don't understand them. Firstly, he says, we don't understand. But we have to admit that throughout the Tanakh, we see that there's tremendous benefit from bringing sacrifices. They have tremendous power. So we have to recognize that firstly, that we see, just like a medication that works, the sacrifices do something. And even in the future, God says, with a pleasant smell, when you bring me sacrifices, I will love you. V'chatuv, and the verse says, the sacrifices of Judah and Jerusalem will again find favor before Hashem. The korbanot shebe'esof Yechezkel, and the sacrifices that are mentioned in the conclusion of the prophet Ezekiel, natid lavoen, that's a reference to the future. So he says it's not over yet. Even though today we're not bringing sacrifices, but A, we see that in ancient times the sacrifices had tremendous power, and B, there's still more to come. B'chatuv b'mizbeach, and we see that the altar is called Zer Shulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. This is the table that is before God. So the Ramban has been setting us up. He says, firstly, yes, it is a difficult concept, and yes, we have to know that this concept has tremendous power. So how does it work? And now we will start the trek, we'll start the journey in learning the Ramban. The first thing he does is he quotes the Ibn Ezra. The Ramban had a great honor for the Ibn Ezra. So very often, before the Ramban gives you his own opinion, he quotes the Ibn Ezra. In his commentary on the Torah, he does the same thing. So the first thing he's going to quote is the Ibn Ezra. V'hine dat Rabbeinu Avraham, the opinion of Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra b'inyan ha-korbanot, with regards to sacrifices. He explains that the concept is shehen kofer nefesh. They are a redemption of the soul. Kofer is like a payment of redemption. Oh, so wait. That's the chiddush that Ibn Ezra is going to make. That the word kapara, which we ordinarily assume is atonement, stems from the word kofer. Meaning they don't have to be synonymous. What you just said is the Ibn Ezra's point. That's the question. Is it stemming from the same meaning? Is kapara, the way we translate kapara today, is it's an atonement. Not that it's a redemption. He says that kapara and kofer are the same root. Right, you're 100% on the mark, but you have to recognize that that's a chidush. It's not so simple. Meaning, it makes sense, fine, you could say it. Now he's going to explain. Uviur einyan ledato, and the explanation of this concept, according to the Ibn Ezra's opinion, is kakobanot b'Torah lo yavo kim al hashgagot. We know that sacrifices in the Torah are only brought for a sin that's done in error. No sacrifice is brought when you do a sin on purpose. No such thing. Sacrifice is only for a sin in error. Ve'en bishgaga ikaret hanefesh v'onesh geinom. And when a person does a sin in error, so he's never going to get kares. The Torah never says, I will cut off that soul for what it has done, if what it has done is in error. The punishment of kares, or going to perdition, is only when someone does a sin willfully. So he says, when you do something by mistake, these two punishments are not applicable. Rak ra'u le'onish, but some punishment he does deserve, mishelo haya nisal b'mitzvat boro, for he was not careful with the mitzvah of his creator, ולא פחד ממאמרו, and he wasn't fearful of God's say so, עד שטעבו, and that's why he reached a point where he erred in it. Meaning, we're not, karban isn't brought for onus. Someone puts a gun to his head and says, do this sin or else. A karban, a sacrifice, is brought for a shgaga. You do something by mistake. Mistake means you weren't focused, you weren't thinking, you weren't responsible enough. So there is an element where a person does have to pay for what he's done. And the karban is a punishment, so to speak, for his not taking God's word seriously enough. Had he taken it seriously enough, he wouldn't have come to this error. V'hine, hu chayav sheyitvadeh lelokav. So what must he do? He must declare, he must say vidui. What's the translation of vidui? Confess, right. He must confess before his creator, v'yitpalelo, and he has to pray before him, v'imchol avonov lo yamut, and God will forgive his sin and he won't die. U'lefi shamasim tzichim l'shlemut b'fo'al, k'mo achet, and being that the actions, they need to be performed in wholeness, just like the sin. B'machshava shelo nizhar. What was the sin? The source of the sin was the action and the thought. He wasn't careful. U'b'maseh, and the action, shachal letachelef. For example, he ate fats that are prohibited. So the sin is composed of two things, thought and action. He wasn't thinking, he wasn't careful, and his action was he did something prohibited. Ken tzarich she'avi guf ba'al chai. So too he has to bring a live creature. He's bringing the body of the animal. Deyismoch yado alav bekocho. He places his hands on it with strength. Kedei lashlim hakavana ve'itvadeh. That helps him complete his intent. And then he confesses. Shekol hakorbanot tzrichim vidui. All sacrifices require one to confess. Vishchot oto lifnei Elokav. And then he slaughters it before his creator, his God. Kmo sheru'i adam sheishpoch damo al cheto bazeh. As if it was fitting for the man that his own blood be spilt over this sin. Deyaktir hachalavim. And he burns the fats. Shehem chedrei hamachshava. They are the anit rooms of thought. Ve'aklayot. And he offers the how do you translate kilia? Yeah, the kidneys. Sham koach tavato. That is the source of strength of desire. Lomar shuruyim klei machshavto liyisaref al cheto. What he's saying is that the vessels of thought really should be burnt over his sin. Deyek kaper lo bechemnat elokav alav uvchasdo, and he will be forgiven out of God's compassion for him and God's kindness. V'ze leshon Rabbi Avraham, and this is what the Ibn Ezra says, betet chelek b'ito yimalet achelek. When you give the portion in its correct time, so then the portion of humanity will be saved. That's this human being. The human being gives the sacrifice at the set time, so he gets saved, so to speak, from the punishment he should have received. Al ken piresh lekaper, that's why he explains, and that's what Asher Chaim said a few minutes ago, that the word lekaper comes from the source of latet kofer, to give redemption. Vehaed, and proof to this thought, mitchilat kitisa, from the verses in the beginning of kitisa. In the beginning of kitisa, what does it say? It says that we all have to give a half a shekel so that we all have a portion in the public sacrifices that are given every day, right? Each person gives a machatzita shekel, and then we're all partners in the public sacrifices. So that's proof to this concept that the money that we give, so to speak, is also redemption. The pasuk over there says, "V'natenu ish kofer nafsho." Each person will give the redemption of his soul, and it also says lechaper. So you see that kofer and kapara go together. Al ken katuv. That's why we also find when Moshe comes in our parsha to Paro, he tells him, "We must go to the desert and bring a sacrifice to God. Pen yifgenu badevil, lest he smite us with a plague." We're scared. We have to go to the desert. Let us go, Paro. We got to go 3 days' journey, or else God will hit us with a plague. So the Ramban has set up the question. He said, I don't know why, what is this concept of bringing sacrifices? He says, but we have to recognize that throughout the Tanakh, we're taught on the one end that God says, I don't need your sacrifices, I don't need that blood, I don't need the animal. And yet, we see that they're very potent. The greatest things are achieved through sacrifices. So he says, what's going on here? He says, the Ibn Ezra says it's a redemption. Now, this doesn't really answer all his questions, because it's a redemption. Well, then, how does it give sanctity to the Temple Mount? Why does Adam HaRishon bring a sacrifice? Why does Noah bring a sacrifice? What kind of redemption? So we're going to have to see. We're just starting. This is the beginning of one understanding. We haven't yet concluded the Ibn Ezra, and we'll continue. I hope next week we'll conclude Bezrat Hashem the concept of Kobanot in the Ramban. Obviously, he's not the only one that discusses this concept, but Bezrat Hashem next week we'll finish it up.